meditation, education, relaxation, elevation. Maybe we can talk about Sora 3118. Your background, it ain't squeaky clean shit. Sometimes we all got to swim upstream. You ain't no saint, we all a sinner. But you put your good foot down and make your soul the winner. I respect that, man, you're so fat. And you're all that, plus supreme. Then you're humble, man, I'm numb your feeling. I can feel everything that you bring. Let's take a long walk around the park. After dark, find a spot, us to spark. Conversation, verbal elation, stimulation. Share our situation, temptation, education, relaxation, elevation. Maybe we can talk about Revelations 3:17. Or maybe we could see a movie, or maybe we could see a play on Saturday. Or maybe we could read and feel the breeze and listen to a symphony. Or maybe chill and just be. Or maybe, maybe we could take a cruise and listen to the roots. Or maybe eat some passion fruit. Or maybe fly to the blues. Or maybe we could just be silent.
Time is now 7 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland and just keeping it real.
Let me tell you the story of a soldier named Dan.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Art of the Protest Song, Sunday, November 12th at 2 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society in Portland. The Art of the Protest Song partners the Oregon Historical Society with four local folk musicians to present a showcase of popular and topical protest songs from the Kennedy era, as well as original songs focused on contemporary issues. This event is free and open to the public. Again, that's the Art of the Protest Song, Sunday, November 12th at 2 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society, 1200 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Faces without hope and without homes. And the
guns they grow. KBOO Community Radio is proud to present David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Journalist, author, and activist David Barsamian will be speaking about the broad coalition in opposition to the Trump administration, which includes activists from a range of causes, progressive Democrats, and concerned Republicans. He'll be reflecting on the core issues at stake today and why so many people from such a range of identities and perspectives are challenging the administration. Again, that's KBOO Presents David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, heals the pain in my chest. Take 6 quarters out of the pocket and drop it in the box. Hop the 48 off to pay homage. It stops often. I jot my observations, watching citizens walking off of the Joe Metropolitan. Yeah. Proletarians and wayward sons with old Filipino men speaking in their native tongue. And the day has just begun, greeted by the scent of a bum, smelling something like beer, barf, and dung.
A brother in Jabos in the back, all alone, marinating in a pair of half-broken headphones, mumbling rhymes, same time begin to pen mine, appreciating God's design. Rewind, sister, reminds me of a smile in the back of my memory. Wonder if I see her again, will she remember me? I'm not trying to holler, I swear, I'm just weary of the way we hop a ride and just sit there and stare. Prepare for my 9 o'clock work meeting. A couple pale folks slide right by with no greeting, but the people with my phenotype follow with a head nod up, cause we acknowledge that the shit fucked up. North of Martin Luther King, a straight war zone, detours through the concrete, cranes and bulldozers. No, the hill is not over still. Every block got a coffee shop, it's overkill. Focus, no big deal. Dope to see Khalil back. The medicine is good again. The feeling of leaving and coming back to your hood again is priceless. I write this, our lives are in crisis. Most talk but don't walk the path of the righteous. Despite this, I measure each step, walking closer to my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, kills the pain in my chest. Clutch the moment, a transfer in my hand, still listening. Looking out the window to the gold and the green. And the sun might be shining, but it's colder than it seems, cause the weather's dialectical, there's no in between. In walks an old soul, a First Nation native cat, chiseled like a totem pole. No words as he stands and looks over us. He gets off and says, have a good day, you foreigners. I crack a smile one time for the acknowledgement. Northbound, now we start to pick up more college kids. They try to study on the ride to make up for the fact that they probably kicked it hard last night. And I ponder if it's time to save up and get a car and pay for the gas that we're taking from the war. I'd miss all the colorful faces, the places and spaces I've embraced with the faith that I can rest and raise kids here, even with these cats set tripping, bringing 95 back again. Same old conditions from Reagan to Bush to Clinton to Bush the second. No matter the neighborhood in the city you're repping, it's getting serious, y'all. You can even hear the rebel car getting off, leaving hella pieces on the walls. Seen it all, sitting sideways with my townmates. Only place left where majority just brown face. Now we headed downtown to trade the labor for cash. I thanked the navigator once and walked fast. I walked past the next round of cats to jump on it, locked in deep thought. We ride around in silence and cross resolve bridge. I watch each step, walking closer to my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, kill the pain in my chest. I remain blessed, stepping on rain with each step. Eyes heavy from the lack of the cousin of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, y'all. You know the rest. You know the rest. You know the rest. It's like that, y'all. That's y'all. It's like that, y'all. That, y'all. That's all.
Back Portland, welcome back. This is another episode of Keeping It Real. This is one of your hosts, Aron's back. And what's up, DZ?
What's up, bro?
How you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
And then we got one more person with us in the studio. We got Marcelia today. She's one of our guests. She's gonna kick it with us. But first of all, before we get started, I want to take a moment and, you know, send my prayers to those affected by the incident yesterday in New York. That was very unfortunate, you know. So I guess there was a guy who drove into a bike lane.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it was 8 people.
Mm-hmm. 8 people died.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is unfortunate.
I think there were more that were injured. I think there's, I know eight are dead for sure. But.
Okay. Yeah. And this is just one of those things where, it's just an unfortunate event. You know, those people's lives didn't have to be taken. But once again, it's one of those things where I think people believe in something so much, but at the same time, nothing's ever worth taking a life over. So, you know, so I'm sending my prayers to them. On the contrary, we have a show today where once again we get to talk to you about our journeys. We come from different walks in life, and, you know, we want to make sure that you get to hear a side of Portland that's kind of not represented a lot. And with that, we want to bring you different vibes, different music. I usually tap into music that I used to listen to back in the day or music that I listen to today.
You say back in the day like you old or something.
You know, I have lived long 28 years, you know, and in those long 28 years, I have experienced, I think, a lot. But yeah, I always tell people I'm 28 going on 70, so...
If you're feeling like that.
Yeah, and I'm sure Nick could tell y'all more about how long it takes me to sit down in a chair and all the good stuff.
Yeah. So your costume was perfect last night.
Oh, yeah. Right. Tell them where I was for Halloween.
Old. He was Uncle Drew.
I was Uncle Drew. So for those of you who don't know, well, I was a mixture of Uncle Drew and just everybody's uncle. Everybody got that one uncle that just, even though they're not old in age,
so
they're just old.
So who was Uncle Drew?
Uncle Drew. So Uncle Drew is Kyrie Irving. He put on a Pepsi commercial and he dressed like an old man.
Uh-huh.
And he went to a park in New York City. And, you know, people seen him and they're like, there were some really talented makeup artists, mm-hmm, that really made him look like an old guy. He
right.
had on a white beard, white hair, glasses, some baggy sweats tucked into the sock. You know, that's how you know. That's the signature move right there.
It really is.
But basically what he ended up doing was he just got on the court and, you know, for the first couple of plays, he was playing like an old man, like barely moving, airballing shots, mm-hmm, like getting crossed over on purpose.
Right.
And then before they know it, he just started working all these people and crossing them over and taking them in and dunking. And then eventually he added on more athletes like LeBron James did it. I think, what was his name? Kevin Love did it, mm-hmm, with him. Yeah, and so it was just all these NBA players going in, acting like old people, and then just dominating the court. It was hilarious. And so I wanted to do that yesterday, and I dressed as that for Halloween, and I went to my class. And
it was pretty humorous, for sure.
Yeah, and I was, you know, breakdancing and challenging students to dance-offs, literally breakdancing, like, you know, breaking bones. And see what I did there, but... It was a fun day. What was your Halloween like? Let's talk about that for a second.
So my uncle was letting me drive his car just because, I mean,
it's better on gas.
Yeah, my uncle's cool. Shout out to my family that's listening real quick.
Shout out to Nick's family that's listening real quick.
I'm not like my mom's coworker. Something happened, so I'm praying for her. But back to it. He was letting me drive his car for a while, and so I got a text yesterday, and he was like, "Are you ever gonna bring my car back?" And so I brought his car back last night. We ate candy, watched Purge, and then I went home. What did we get? I got some juice, went into the room, and I just passed out.
Nice.
I didn't do anything on Halloween.
No.
I just hung out with people that I cared about, and that's it.
Y'all know Nick was dressed up as me on Halloween, right?
He had on some hot waters. He didn't do a very good job.
No, I had the polo fit on yesterday. I was a what else I was yesterday? I was we had the
comfortable man.
We had the bandana on and driving around.
Chola.
And he was
I had to work. Like,
yeah, she
he
was.
He didn't come. And, he got me.
Aron, I'm gonna show you this picture. I'm sorry for everyone who can't see this picture right now, but this picture is so funny. I wish you guys could see it.
Who was it? Describe it.
It's Marshalia. They did her dirty at her work. They made her wear a costume.
Really showing that?
She's an ice cream cone, y'all.
They made her wear the ice cream cone.
That wasn't yesterday. That was taken some months back. But it's kind
of really?
Funny. Yeah.
How does he have that picture?
So what happened was one of the women who worked for POIC, we always joke with each other, and she came up to the shop, and I was like, "Oh, where's your costume? Wait, you don't need one." She was like, "Oh, we talking about costumes? I got a costume for you." And she like walks away or whatever. Well, Nelson, his dad, comes up and he's like talking to me, and she's like, you remember that costume I was talking about? Well, here it is. And she shows, I call him Nelly. She shows Nelly, and he just starts busting up laughing. I'm like, "What is it?" And she shows me the picture that she took of me when I had to wear the ice cream suit.
She got you.
And she got me good, because the picture that she sent him, she sent it to Nelly and Nelly sent it to Nick.
And then
Nelson was not gonna walk away without getting that picture sent to him. He was like, "I'm sending it to Nick." Okay, thanks.
Nick saves stuff like that.
And
for
those
of you who don't know him, Nick is the type of person who will save a picture of you until you try to crack a joke at him. Then he'll pull it out of his archives and show it to you.
Right.
And then
start clowning.
I know the way Nelson is. He didn't move anything on his body except for his thumbs until he sent that picture.
Yep.
He did not move.
He didn't move it.
He was not playing. He kept asking Tanisha too. He kept asking her, "You gonna send that?"
Right, he was probably impatient because he had bad phone service in the mall, like waiting.
Nelson seemed like he would.
He does, man. That's how it is. Like, we were at someone's house and they were clowning like back and forth, and he was like having me get pictures of people off of the internet, and I sent it to him. He like look at me and just keep looking at me until he like heard his phone go off and go, okay.
Shout out to Nelson. Nelson's one of those great mentors, man. Yeah. I'm lucky to get to work with a guy like that. Nick, yeah. Tell me, what's your connection to Nelson?
So I'm going to just tell you the whole story because I don't think a lot of people know. So it wasn't last school year. It was mm-hmm. the school year before that. So
my first year at POIC?
Yeah, I was a sophomore.
Okay.
And so Nelson had came to the school and he like looked at me and we started talking, and then when he was leaving, someone goes, "That's your dad." And I was thinking like, what are they talking about? Like, no one here even knows what he looks like. And then Kiki goes, "Yeah, that's your dad." And then Nelson turns around and he was like, "What's your last name?" And then Kiki whispers, she was like, "Gonzalez." And so I said Gonzalez, and he was like, "What? Oh wait, for real?" Like, and he like walked over me and tried to like really get serious. Like, no, it's not my last name. And so ever since then, like, I'll see him be like, "Dad." And then I mean, it's been like 2 years now, but I mean, he's kind of just taken me in as his son. Like, we have conversations. He keeps it real. And we just clicked, and so ever since then, I mean, I call him dad. I pop up at his house. He calls me.
He treats him like he's his son.
Right.
That
father's favorite, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's cool.
Shout out to all the mentors out there. You know, I think it's important.
Hey, Mom, I know you're listening, because my mom wants me to send her the picture, and I bet my uncle does too. So they're all going to see the
Marcella,
picture of
your
you.
Your picture going to be everywhere now.
I'm about to get clowned on when I go to Uncle Jack's house. Like,
right.
Embrace it. Open arms.
I mean, he already clowns. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, they're a
Nick
bunch of jokesters.
Yeah,
but really, that's a picture. Like, they're going to use that against me for the rest of my life.
Right. It's going to stay. I'm telling you, I have plenty of those.
Okay,
those of you who don't know my family, that's how they are too. They save stuff.
Yeah.
And they bring it back like later when you don't expect it.
Right.
My phone has 12,183 pictures. And
probably half of them are.
Yeah. Probably like
10,000 of those is probably like evidence.
I would say like a cool 500 to 600 are Arone.
Yep.
Pictures or videos of me and Arone.
And a lot of them are like him making fun of my high waters or... whatever it is, he always catches me slipping at like the randomest times.
He catches anybody slipping.
Like, oh my God.
Like, I remember one of the first times I pulled up to Arone's house, and he came out, and I was like waiting, and he like walked up to the car, and I was like, who is this dude walking up to the car? Because all I see him in is like work clothes, and he walked up in like a pair of shorts and a tank top. And I was like, who is this dude at my window? Like, should I look over there? And like, I look over, and like, he's barely getting to the car. I'm like, what? Like, what is he doing? And I was like, oh, that's Arone.
Picture time.
Oh, and he had a do-rag on, too.
It was a wave cap.
Okay, Arone.
First of all.
Arone said, I bet you I can
get
waves.
Right.
Arone said he can get waves in one night. He wore the wave cap and came to school the next day.
And what happened? People
and
got
some
waves. He had
waves.
Right. Yeah.
What?
Let me
okay.
tell you, first of all,
I
have luscious hair.
He had to wear his swimming cap.
No, I don't. Look, my hair is the top of hair. It's so tough that, and this... I guess I'm saying that right. I was going to say this stays in this room, but apparently it's not. When I was a kid, my dad used to take me to the barber shop. And before he takes me to the barber shop, he would go over my hair with scissors and like shorten it. And then he would take me to the barber shop. And I never understood why until one day my mom took me to the barber shop when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't know he did that. And when we got to the barber shop, the machine kept getting stuck in my hair because it's just thick and it hurt.
Uh-huh.
A lot. And then the barber didn't want nothing to do with me. Like, he didn't want to cut my hair because I almost broke his machine. And so that's when it kind of...
It registered, like, why your dad was doing what he did.
What he did, because he understood, because I probably broke my dad's machines.
Yeah. He's like, you ain't about to break day clippers.
At least you're never going to go bald.
Never say never.
You're right.
Because, you know, my dad is... Well, he's not bald yet, but it's kind of like, you know, the desert starts
patchy
in the middle and then it kind of just takes over. He kind of got that going now.
He just got
a little bit
around the head.
Yeah, but he has 64 right now. He still got like a full hair, but you know, like in the middle, it's kind of starting to thin out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I got some hope, But I do have uncles and stuff too who lost
it all. Got over 40 years. You good.
I'm 28 right now and I'm still kind of doing good. You know, my hairline's still, you know.
It's still there.
Still there.
Yeah. Hey, so I just got a text from my aunt, my uncle, and my mom, and they're all laughing at your picture right now.
Thanks. Nice. I hope all of you guys are listening. Thanks for laughing.
They are listening. That's how they know.
Yeah, when do you guys call? Call in.
Oh yeah, call in.
Yeah, call in and let us know.
No, don't call in. No, my uncle can't call in.
He's gonna embarrass you.
No, Uncle Jack. Uncle Jack, if you call in, you can't cuss.
Yeah, no, cause no, none of that.
No cussing. No inappropriate. Nothing. Like if you call in, like you got to be good.
I'd like to hear some stories about Nick, like embarrassing ones that we could laugh about.
I want to see baby pictures.
No, because I know if he calls in, he's going to make fun of one of us, and he doesn't know you, so it's going to be one of us.
It's going to be one of you two. Exactly.
It's going to be me right now. I just got to put on the spot.
Yeah, the ice cream picture is not going to go away. I think we're going to reference that every show from now on.
Yeah.
But definitely, yeah, I want to hear more funny stories about Nick. I feel like Nick was the kind of kid that you had to watch
all the time. You better not be in that toilet.
Like Kevin Hart's toilet. I was a good kid, bro. I was quiet when I was a kid.
You was?
That's what I said too.
I feel like he used to just.
That's
like,
why we reckless now.
Set the pot on fire, like see your mom.
No, I used to be a good kid, man. Like I would be scared to like speak up and like talk in public and all that.
And but now, what about now?
I guessed that.
I'm horrible.
Now
like, we would never have guessed that.
Nope, never. Nick now would interject himself into every conversation.
He don't care.
Take pictures of people's face like up close.
Oh, I don't know if my uncle and aunt know, but I was at my cousin's wedding and there was some bald dude sitting in front of me and I took a picture of him.
No.
Yeah. And I'll send it to you guys actually right now.
You still have the picture?
Yeah.
See what I told y'all? He keeps stuff.
I'll find it for you guys because it was funny because like the back of his head had like a crease and I was like, I want to swipe my debit card.
Oh my God. What we need to do is post those pictures.
So bad.
Yeah, see that's
credit
what
or
we
debit.
Need. I'm a nice person, y'all. I don't get that impression. But when I was a kid, I was one of those kids too that you had to watch all the time.
Oh, and also my mom said that the picture was cute. She just texted me and said that I better say that.
Oh, see.
Oh, thanks.
Let's play one of the songs that I chose. What we got going? We got Marvin
Gaye.
What's
going on? Hey, that's my song.
Is that what song is it? Is it Inner City Blues or
Inner City Blues?
Yeah, Inner City Blues. This is one of my favorite songs. I can still relate to a lot of the stuff that he says in that song right now. So Nick is gonna stop flipping through those pictures and cue it, and we'll be back after.
Make me wanna holler fact is, oh honey, that I can't pay my taxes. Oh, make me wanna holler, throw up both my hands. Yeah. Everybody thinks we're on the mother. Who are they to judge us?
Mother, mother,
simply call me sweet. Where I hell on
the mother.
Ooh.
Listen to that sound right there. That was Marvin Gaye, Inner City Blues, one of my favorite Marvin Gaye songs. Marvin Gaye was one of those artists. So let me paint a picture to y'all. Y'all ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
So I was born and raised in Yemen. Yemen is an Arabian country. They speak Arabic. Majority of the population is Muslim. But there was a lot of Western culture there. They appreciated Western culture. And one of the things that we grew up watching was music videos and even like American and European shows. So like The Fresh Prince, The Simpsons, Sesame Street, all those shows we watched in Arabic. Okay. There were a couple of artists that I grew up listening to before I could even speak English. Right. Mm-hmm. And they go not in this, like they're not in the specific order, but I used to listen to the Beatles. Come Together was my favorite song. Bob Marley, Three Little Birds. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, We Jam In and all those songs. My dad used to love Bob Marley. And we used to listen to this guy, Kenny Rogers. I don't know if you guys know him. Another artist, God rest his soul, Don Williams. He was a country musician who just passed probably like 4 or 5 weeks ago. But his music was timeless as well. And we listened to artists like Sade and Marvin Gaye. And Marvin Gaye was like one of those artists that my dad still to this day gets sad about when he finds, you know, like when he found out that he died. I think that was a blow to him. And so I always, you know, listened to him. Now, when you guys think about music, right, and you think back, you know, to your upbringing, what were some of the artists that you grew up listening to?
I listened to like a lot of old school music that my mom listened to. So she listens to like a lot of the Eagles, Angie Stone, Temptations, Jackson 5, you know, mm-hmm. Case. Mm-hmm. So there's so many others that I probably just don't even know the names. I just like, you know, if I heard the song, I'd be like, oh, I know that. But you know, she just listened to like a lot of music that like told a story,
right?
You know, and that's what I think, that's why I fell in love with music and like why I started to write poetry, is is to put that story on paper, you know?
Yeah. I mean, she just played Pac.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, like last.
That's me.
That was you who played it?
Well, I'm a huge Tupac Shakur fan. Yeah. Like, I love him. I took a class my senior year, and honestly, if it wasn't for that class, I'd probably fail every last class my senior year if it wasn't for Carranza Cruz and, you know, the mentors that he worked with that year.
Uh-huh.
It literally made me look differently on my own life and, like, where I was going.
Your teacher's name was Carranza?
Carranza Cruz.
Younger guy?
Younger guy. Dreads. Yeah,
I don't think he has his dreads anymore.
Anymore, no.
But I did a training with him. This is crazy. This is such a small world. Huh? I did a training with him. Teaching with Purpose.
Yeah, Teaching
about,
with Purpose. Yeah.
What was it, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And one of the
Teaching with Purpose for the conference.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And one of the things, two things that stuck out to me was, number one, him.
Mm-hmm.
He is somebody who has a drive to change his community, but he also looks at the policy side of things. And that's something that I've been blind to. And so he kind of opened my mind towards that. And, you know, he's always an advocate for hip-hop as a tool.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, Nick will probably could tell you guys more about that, but Nick and I always fought about the aux cord in my class because they would always try to take over. I had a playlist of things I wanted them to hear, and they had a playlist of things they wanted me to hear, so we would always, like, take the aux back and forth and play music.
People try to sneak up there and plug their phone in.
Yeah, and you know, and that's like one of my favorite parts, you know, is the fact that I could play hip-hop and I could see how powerful that is by just the way you're talking about it.
Right.
And the other thing that caught me off guard, which was like amazing, was also Nipsey Hussle stopped by.
Mm, really?
Yeah.
And, wow. Yeah, but he couldn't.
Keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
but no, on the real though, that guy, you know, he's a young artist, rap, of course. You know, he lived the gang size or the gang side of life.
Right.
And, you know, he's experienced all that. He grew up in Crenshaw. He's Eritrean, like me. But at the same time, like, we just had two different walks in life. Right. At the same time, he has so much knowledge about economics. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is one of my favorite subjects, right? He talked about financial freedom.
Yeah.
And how he talked about how people needed to start investing in themselves and in their talents and in their passion, and not wait on somebody else to come and give you a deal you know, because you're signing your name away.
Right. And that's what, you know, he was trying to teach us then too. And, you know, he's just continued to grow. And with this Teaching of a Purpose conference, it's just become bigger and bigger. And there's so many different people who come together, and it's amazing to see, like, you know, it's him who started it, but it's crazy to see the end result. And it's not even over yet, you know, and it just keeps getting bigger. And it's crazy that you know him and I know him. You know, it's such a small world. But he does such great work.
Oh, my God. You know? Yeah. And the drive, like, I mean, even the way when we talk about problems, he'd be like, okay, cool. We know the problems. Like, what's the solution?
Right.
Like, let's do solution based. Right. And to me, that's somebody who's ready for change and who's trying to
push. He is, very much so.
Yeah.
And he can take a negative situation and he can turn it into something so positive. Like, I remember coming into class and there was just days I did not want to be there. There was days I didn't want to be anywhere. You know, I just wanted to vanish. And he helped me see things in a different light. And he would play some songs from Tupac. And, you know, even though Tupac and I, you know, he died before I was born, and you know, I've never lived the life he lived. There were so many things that I could relate to, and I just broke down at one point. And you know, I've never had somebody like really take such a bad situation and pull all the positive out in it, you know. And so, I mean, Carranza, I hope if he ever hears this, like, he knows, like, how much
this audio to him in the email. He's,
yeah, how much it, like, actually meant, you know, like,
yeah, shout out to Carranza. You know, I'm looking forward to working with him. DZ, man, you've been kind of quiet over there. What's up?
I've just been listening to y'all talk, and, like, I mean, I know last time I talked a lot, and so just listening to y'all talk is,
Time I talked a lot. You talk a lot all the time. Just last time.
No, I don't know, man. I was just listening to y'all talk.
Man? Why don't you tell me who you listened to growing up?
In 2000, well, I'll just say I was 8 or 9 when, if Nelson's listening, he's going to be so mad next time he sees me. Lil Wayne, The Carter 3 came out.
Oh,
and that's all I wanted. I wanted the album so bad, and I got it.
What was one of your favorite songs in that album? Do you remember?
I don't even remember what was on that album.
Nice.
I listened to him. I listened to, like, the people who was hot, like, when Soulja Boy was hot before he got into, like, doing all those guns and
to you
gang stuff.
All the time?
Yeah. Before he got sidetracked by, like, the money and doing all this and that. I mean, it's cool, but it's whatever. I used to listen to him. I used to listen to, like, T-Pain, and then when it was hot, like, when Young Money was really hot, bro.
That was, like, 2007. That's when I was in high school, man. That's crazy. 10 years ago now.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy, man. When everyone was hot, when everyone was, like, music videos was, like, in a cat-eye camera or fisheye camera, whatever.
Yeah, cat-eye.
And everyone was in, like, a big silver box or, like, rolling their cars around. Like when music videos was more than just guns and money.
Yeah.
I used to watch that.
I liked that era. It was a fun. And I mean,
everyone wore baggy jeans and two big shirts.
Mm-hmm. And the headbands and the jerseys. Mm-hmm. And that was me in high school, man. We had the tall tees.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yep. And my white tee. Remember that song?
Yeah. And then it was wearing.
We used to rep that song so hard.
Yeah. And it was
I was like a
Jordans.
Freshman when that song came out.
Yeah. And everyone was rocking Jordans, but now everyone's in like rappers now is in crop tops, skinny jeans, and high heels. And rompers and stuff. Like, that's not hot, man. My opinion, that's not hot.
Okay. And then the thing is, like, okay, so I feel like back then, right, a lot of the music, I think it was just different time, right? People, because I think music, just like human beings, just like you, right? Would you say you're the same person you was when you was 8, 9?
No.
No, you grew, right? And you evolved. Mm-hmm. And I think music is just evolving now. You know, the beauty about music is it's a universal language, right?
Right.
And it comes in different, like, forms, shapes, right? And so I think that one way, at least the way I see it, is that because, you know, for the longest time, I didn't like half of the stuff that the students used to listen to, right? But then eventually got to a point to where I was just like, okay, I'm trying to get to know these kids, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to, you know, impact their lives. And a part of their influence is the music they listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sit here and tell them, no, you shouldn't listen to this or don't listen to that.
Right.
Because they're going to do it anyways
right.
behind my back. But what I could do is listen to the song and be able to kind of figure out a way to use it as a teaching experience, mm-hmm. right? I relate to hip-hop. Like, that was what spoke to me. A lot of the time, that's what got me through college,
mm-hmm.
right? It was music. It was the J. Cole's, the Kendrick's, A Tribe Called Quest, and The Far Side, right? Mm-hmm. Tupac, Biggie, like all those mm-hmm. guys. But I know, like, there are some of my students now who listen to Lil Uzi or what's his name? G Herbo or, mm-hmm. you know, like all those guys. And it's like Mozzie, and you can't sit there and tell them that their taste in music is bad because that's how they see the world. That's right. their experience. That's who they relate to,
yeah.
right? Kind of like you related to mm-hmm. Tupac. And so, like, for me, it was a way for me to just kind of back up and let them listen to their music mm-hmm. and just see them enjoy it yeah. and hear it, like, actually
it's
give
almost,
it a chance.
It's almost like getting to know who they are.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And that's kind of why, you know, like, for me, nowadays, music might look different to certain people, their fashion, the style, but all these things evolve, right?
Yeah.
And next year, there'll be a new trend, and the year after that, there'll be a new trend.
And if you really look at it, all the styles and all the kinds of music, they all kind of come back eventually.
The cycle.
Like skinny jeans. They used to wear them back in the day, flannels, you know, rompers, mm-hmm. you know, boot cuts, you know, like that was all worn back in the day. It just comes back in a different way. They
exactly.
put it into like a different, you know.
It evolves. And in music, they sample stuff back from the 50s, 60s,
yeah.
like 40s, 20s. Like people are sampling stuff now mm-hmm. and you know, you put your little flavor in it
yeah.
and you put it out
right.
and somebody else relates to it. And 10, 20 years from now, right now, the music of the 90s and the early 2000s is being sampled.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in 10, 15 years, the music from today is going to
be sampled.
And
yeah.
so on and so forth. And so, like, I think that just people grow up to a certain sound, and then they like to have included in their work.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You know, you want to mm-hmm. show somebody you respect them, you imitate them, right? Or
mm-hmm.
you know, so... And so I think that it's cool. Your opinion is totally valid. You know?
I mean, I see the way that it's all changed. Like, but then you still got people who who's wearing like the baggy jeans and the, everything like like I see Nelson on the weekend.
He's leave in his, Nelly alone,
he's in his,
man.
He's in his Dickies and high socks.
Hey,
he's a cholo. Leave yes, him alone.
Yeah, I see that, and it's. I mean, I'm kind of glad the whole romper thing is over, because before my bro left to the army, Shay, he was like, "Oh, bro, let's get matching rompers."
Oh,
and,
Lord.
And then
I thought rompers are what females wore.
Oh, they made some for men now.
Yeah.
They got some for dudes. Like, literally, it looks like, imagine somebody wearing like,
so imagine, they look imagine like MC Hammer pants.
Shorts. No, imagine. No,
they look like golf shorts, and then imagine like a shirt, like a short attached sleeve shirt, just like tucked in, and it's like tight. Just imagine.
So, look,
that.
Imagine a dude putting on a girl's romper.
Imagine somebody.
Does it look like short overalls for men?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Except they have like the sleeves and
It looks like a t-shirt almost.
Yeah, a button-up short sleeve shirt.
I was thinking about getting my uncle a romper for Christmas.
Who, Uncle Jack?
Yeah. he's gonna be mad.
Now he's definitely gonna call it. Wear it. Some stories.
Yeah, yeah. He'd probably wear it.
He'd rock it.
Yeah. It'd be funny. It'd be cool, but
Nick, our homie's here.
But shout out to everyone that's listening, everyone that supporting us right now.
Yep. You know, I got a song coming up that I'm going to play to y'all.
What is it called?
You listen to Erykah Badu?
I think I may have heard the name.
Mm-hmm. She does a lot of soul.
Okay. Then I probably have.
Yeah, she's if you hear the song, you probably know J. Cole sampled this song.
Okay.
This specific song that I'm going to play for y'all today. It's called Didn't You Know, but it's one of those songs that you know, the same idea. I kind of used to listen to her a lot in college.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the beat for it is an amazing mellow beat. So I'm gonna let y'all listen to it real quick, and then we'll be back soon.
Sway, didn't you know?
This is Keeping It Real. This is Nick Deasy.
And Aron. And we got Marsalia with us. And right now,
what's up?
Let me tell y'all what we're doing right now in the studio, okay? So Nick Deasy didn't want me to see these pictures, but I'm looking at his childhood pictures, and right now I'm looking at a picture of Nick holding a cell phone. I think he was probably playing with it or prank calling people. But he had on an afro that looked like mine.
Let me see.
I see you, Deasy.
Oh, yeah,
bro. How old were you?
I think that was just right before, like, my hair actually, like, went down curly. That's how my hair was all the time, bro, before I ever had the taper. And I'm going to go on record and say this. So you see everyone that's, like, getting the size of their haircut in the front cut so they get it lined up and cut.
Uh-huh.
I've had this haircut for 3 years now before it ever got hot. I'm going to say this right now.
What if
and my mom, my mom can get on here and tell everybody I got my haircut like this when I turned 15.
What if I told you that I knew people who had this haircut back in 2006?
People probably had this haircut in 1990.
People probably had this haircut a long, long time ago.
Yeah. No.
I was.
But because Nick has it now,
no, I'm just
saying.
He's the
one who invented it, people.
But no, I'm not saying that I invented it, but I'm saying, man, you see everyone has this haircut now. Like, everyone with long hair is getting
even
a haircut.
Females
like
have it.
Yeah, people are getting this haircut now, and it's like before it blew up and you see it everywhere, I did it on my own. And then
what does that mean to you now? Let's talk about that for a little bit.
I saw it blow up, and I was like, okay, well, I don't want to hear anyone say that I copied them because I had my hair like this before anybody else out here. And, like, before it blew up, like before it was actually a trend instead of just a haircut.
What does your hair mean to you? I've never asked you this question before.
My hair is me. It's who I am. I don't think I'll ever really cut my hair.
You better not.
And people are like, oh, you're gonna cut your hair. It's just a phase, and I've had this phase for like 3 years.
You
now.
Better so not. That, I need to practice on braids.
That's a no go on cutting the hair. I was actually gonna get a little like side job for I think it was like a month at the what is it called, the little carnival down there at Waterfront,
the Rose Festival,
and it was like, well, you'd have to cut your hair, and I was like, thank you for the opportunity, you guys have a good day, but that's a no-go. And they were like it'll grow back, and I was like, and you'll find more people to work for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm not gonna cut my hair for what was it, like $300.
Even it's not about the money, like,
it's the principles.
I think that short hair and I understand being like, okay, so I have a problem. I'm gonna go on a tangent. Y'all ready for this? Okay, when we talk about hair, I think hair is a cultural, ethnic, you know, like, it's a part of your history, a part of who you are. Like, some people's culture, you know, is dreadlocks. Some people's culture is long hair, right? I mean, even if you look at biblical stories, you had Samson, he had long hair, and his power came from his hair. And so I think that when you come with a Western, like, perspective to tell people from different ethnic background to cut their hair or to, you know, whatever, I think that that's not fair to somebody who, you know, who's attached to their hair, who mm-hmm. took the time and the energy to nurture and grow their hair, right?
Yeah.
I think that being well-groomed is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But having to cut your hair because you don't fit a certain image, to me, that's, I think that's an old-fashioned way of thinking.
There was actually a video on Facebook that some women did. They were of different shades of mm-hmm. African-American, and they went from extremely light skin to extremely dark skin, and they were talking about their hair and the power of their hair mm-hmm. and how, as a kid, you know, they were forced to chop all their hair off. And like you said, it for me, my hair defines who I am, you know, like, when I cut my hair off, I felt like a different person. I felt free, but I also, like, I felt like I kind of lost a piece of me.
Right.
But they were talking about that, and one of them were talking about how she used to be in the life, and how her Johns or her pimp would force her to cut all her hair off, or they would just cut it. And she was talking about how it pretty much destroyed her from the inside out.
Right.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Just something so small on someone can make such a huge impact on their life. You
exactly,
know?
And that's the thing for me. Like, I remember some of my earliest memories, and let me tell you, my dad is one of my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, his hair was always in the afro. Like, you know, he was a soldier back in Eritrea. He was a guerrilla soldier, and you know, like, he never had it easy since he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But he always showed me what it meant to be strong, like what it meant to be a man. And that's a conversation we had today with our male students. What did it mean to be a man, mm-hmm. right? Because people have different interpretations. But he showed me what it meant to be a man, and his like pictures with his afro mm-hmm. and the beard, that was always something that I wanted to have. I was like, man, Pops, when I get older, like, I want to have the same hair. Like, yeah. you know, I want to look like you.
Right.
And the first thing he used to tell me was, no, 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 like, you have to cut it because you have to get a job in this country mm-hmm. and they don't like long hair. Yeah. You know, and I was just like, man, why do I have to give up my culture, you know?
To please someone else.
Right, like, my work ethic should speak for itself, right? My intelligence, whatever, like, my hair does not make me any less of
right. a... Right, it doesn't define who you are.
It doesn't define who I am. Yeah. It's just a part of, it's an extension of my culture.
Right.
And my energy, you know? And so, that's, I felt, like, really strong about that. And that's kind of why I started asking Nick about, you know, like, what his hair meant to him. Because I think, to me, hair... It's vibrant, man. It's like it shows more of, like, it's you.
Yeah.
You know, it's a piece of you. Mm-hmm. And nobody should be able to temper with that, you know.
And it's crazy how much it can change you, because when I chopped all my hair off and I went bald, my whole style changed. Like, my whole demeanor changed. Mm-hmm. My whole outlook changed. And now that I have long hair again, it's kind of like I've transitioned back into, like...
You feel like you're back to you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I loved being bald. Uh-huh. I literally felt free. As soon as I cut it off, that's, like, the first thing I said. I was right. like, I am free, you know? Like, and that's how it felt. It was light, you know? Like, it felt like I had a burden lifted off of me. But there was just something about having long hair that made me feel, like, confident and... I don't know, strong, right. I guess, you know, like, it's right. crazy. I don't know how to explain it. It's
right. But I feel it. Different. I feel it. And, you know, and so, you know, we don't want to take up too much time. I think we kind of getting close. And so.
Me and you just chatting over here. Nick's just chatting, like Nick sitting over there just all right. quiet.
Looking like a DJ playing. He's spinning his phone, y'all. Like. Looking like a turntable. Yeah, I'll put you on blast, Nick.
Man.
No, but on the real, let's talk about wisdom. What kind of words of wisdom do you guys have for people? You know, I want to give y'all ample time to, you know, just
don't do drugs. And I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm saying that for real. I'm seeing so many people lately that are doing all these pills and mm-hmm. everything that they want to do because they want to fit in. They want to be cool with their friends at the party. Like, that's not cool. It's not cool to be strung out on drugs. Like, if someone's strung out on drugs, help them, like, get their life right. Because I'm sure you wouldn't want to see your mom or dad or kid doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people act like it's such a funny thing to see a crackhead walking down the street and yell at them. Like, and I just think, like, yeah, like, I'll say what's up to people out the window or mess with them a little bit, but... When I see someone like that, like, it hits me. It's, like, sad that someone's life is at that low of a point, and I pray for them. So if I can say anything, don't do drugs. Don't get into it. Don't try it because someone's pressuring you. Like, I've never been the one to fall for peer pressure. So if I could say that to y'all, just keep your head right.
Appreciate that message, man. That was deep.
I know.
Marcelli?
I guess kind of just playing off what he said. I would just say do it for yourself. And that... I say that in general because it goes for everything in your life. But like he was talking about, like, peer pressuring, you know, if there's something you want, don't do it for the next person. Don't do it because you just want your mom to be happy mm-hmm. or because you want your neighbor to be happy. Do it because you want that for yourself, right. you know, and that's how I was for a long time. I just was, like, trying to get it done to please my mom.
Right.
And once you start doing things for yourself, it changes you. You know, you appreciate it. You value it more. You learn from the lessons, you right. know. More so if you're just doing it for somebody just because. So, you know, if you're out there and you're going through things and you want to make a change, do it for you. You know, it's always nice to do it for somebody else and have them encouraging you, but make sure you're doing it for yourself at the end of the day.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you. Appreciate it. And I guess my message to you today is be yourself, live your life, enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know, next moments are not guaranteed.
Let the ones you love know you love them, and invest in yourself. You are worth it. This has been Keeping It Real. My name is Aron.
This is Nick Deasy, and catch us on I'm gonna find out what their next show is. I feel like next time I want to really have people call in, get on Facebook Live. December 6th, come in.
All right.
December 6th. We'll do some type of giveaway, like Christmas giveaway with like the beanies like we did in the beginning.
Yeah, let's do that. And we going to play y'all a song to end today. It's by Anthony Hamilton. Nick, you want to shout out your uncle?
Yeah, shout out to my uncle. Shout out to everyone listening, but shout out to him because he always sends me song requests and I don't play them. I'm not gonna lie.
Got you, Uncle Jack.
I always tell him I'm out of time or something.
This one's for you,
Unc. This is for you.
All right, y'all have a great one.
Sitting here, guess I didn't make bail. Got time and a story to tell. Started when I was 9 years old. Woke up and daddy was gone. I started hustling and they couldn't tell me nothing. Frontin' in the hood, trying to be somebody. My soul was on empty. I was searching for something. Tried to be good. Tried to keep from trouble. Living too fast, trying to make good on a hustle. Sometimes it get rough. Coming from an upfront, times got hard. Coming from an upfront, times you gotta walk to work. Coming from an upfront, sometimes you gotta do a little dirt. Wasn't really looking, guess I found it. 5'3", light brown skin. Coming from the university. Lifestyle looking kinda lovely. Didn't know she had much game. Down to ride out, even take the train. Even take her to a poker game. Top notch fried chicken and sushi. Try to be good. Try to treat you like a lady. Tried to be your friend. Turned out that you were shady. Sometimes I get lonely. Coming from an upfront, things ain't what they seem to be. Coming from an upfront, sometimes you get a little angry. Coming from an upfront, sometimes you get the best of me.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Robin Jackson Portland album release with The Colin Trio on November 11th at 9 p.m. at the Secret Society in Portland. Award-winning singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist Robin Jackson is releasing his second solo record that draws upon the moody spirit of his rain-soaked Portland home to create an eclectic brew of dreamy folk pop, cinematic indie rock, and enigmatic storytelling. The Colin Trio will also be featured. Again, that's the Robin Jackson Portland album release with The Colin Trio on November 11th at 9 p.m. at the Secret Society, 116 Northeast Russell Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of KBOO at the Clinton screening of Romeo is Bleeding on Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Romeo is Bleeding is a documentary that follows Dante Clark, a young poet transcending the violence in his hometown of Richmond, California, by writing about his experiences.